So here's the question. Your King's Souvenir Fun Cup, is it half empty or is it half full? Yeah, the Kings beat Detroit, they beat Charlotte, but they also swept a back-to-back for the first time all year. Yeah, the Kings are fifth place in the West right now, but if they'd taken care of their business, they might have, as Kyle Draper was just telling us, they might have 27 wins by now. That's just the charm of this roller coaster season. With more on that, and perhaps with some views on where the Kings may go trade-wise, nice stuff to join us, our Sacktown Sports Kings insider, Frankie Cardicelli. What's up, Frankie?
Wow, quite an introduction.
Frankie
Thanks,
Cardicelli,
guys, for having me.
Yeah.
Very excited. I'm very excited. Yeah, it was very nice to see the Kings take care of business for once. Not for once, but, you know, better than the alternative, which is them dropping a game to Charlotte like last week. But
yeah,
everything you want to see. You know, they checked all the boxes, I think. I'm not sure how you guys feel, but I think last night, aside from a brief slow start, checked all the boxes on my end.
Frankie, you are the one usually who has breaking news. I have breaking news for you. Did you know that the Sixers have no chance tomorrow night? Embiid is out. I'm sure you knew that. Embiid is out. But do you know that the Sixers have no chance to win tomorrow night?
What makes you say that, though? You've seen the Kings. They drop these games to these shorthanded teams all the time. But why do you feel confident in this one?
I say that because Simone has a replica skeleton she got from the medical building next door. Yeah. And she's going to dress it up in a 76ers jersey before the game tomorrow.
Okay.
Boom! Done deal.
And right? It's going to ruin them, Frankie. That's all you missed.
Yeah, when she had a 49er jacket on it earlier this year, that was when the 49ers lost three games in a row, Frankie.
Yeah.
If it's Simone doing it, then I definitely trust it. I fully trust it.
You trust
it.
The process?
She has a point. I trust the Simone process. No, but you have a point, because I was looking up some numbers. The 76ers do struggle when Joel Embiid's out. And again, you never know.
Uh-huh.
The Sacramento Kings. But the nine games that the Sixers have played without Joel Embiid, they hold a 2-7 record, including last night. They lost a game in, I think, single overtime or double overtime. There was a lot of overtime games last night. I'm not sure why you're checking on or you someone. If anyone was checking on the NBA last night,
right,
there was a ton of close games last night. And the Sixers did fall short, but 2-7 without Embiid, does it matter? Maybe. I think the Kings, obviously, playing against a Sixers team without a guy that's averaging 36, 11, and 6, that's going to help, I think, but we've seen the Kings fall short too many times, but yeah, you feel better than not without Embiid, sure.
Yeah.
How about this, Frankie? We know Joel Embiid, of course, the reigning MVP. With the numbers that Domas has been putting up, I was just thinking this morning, like, those are like MVP-type numbers. So I checked Basketball Reference. They have their MVP award tracker, which is based supposedly on past voting. It's not someone's opinion. And he actually is on their list. He's eighth. Domas is eighth on Basketball Reference's MVP tracker. That means he doesn't have much of a chance, but he has been playing, no matter how you slice those numbers, like an MVP of late. I don't think anybody can deny that. Do you agree?
No, I completely agree. And it is kind of funny seeing those two. I think it's 7-8, Tyrese Haliburton, Domantas Sabonis.
Yes, you're
again,
right.
Just kind of a callback just to how how even, really, I mean, from a numbers standpoint and from a result standpoint, this trade was. And I had a tweet this morning just about where Domantas Sabonis ranks. And this was more in light of the NBA All-Star voting. Obviously, we talked about it last week. But Domantas Sabonis, NBA ranks. He's first in rebounds, first rebounds per game, first in double-doubles, second in triple-doubles, leads, or he's third in 2010 five games, sixth in assists, seventh in win shares, eighth in assists per game, ninth in field goal percentage. I don't really know if we'd be having this conversation if this guy, and I hate to point at the Sacramento is behind the eight ball narrative, but if Domantas Sabonis is playing for any other team, I don't understand how he wouldn't be for sure in the top 10 of voting. But again, maybe even higher on the MVP ladder, because again, the Kings, as you and Draper were talking about, they're 23-14. And they have some really ugly losses sprinkled in there. Like, if they were to take care of business in some of those games, and maybe things will even out again if the Kings were to beat Philly tomorrow night, even without Joel Embiid, just having a game like that on your resume, maybe evens out. But the fact that the Kings are nine games over, they weren't nine games over last year until almost March. Domantas Sabonis is doing things that I was thinking about how, you know, growing up and in high school, like Boogie, DeMarcus Cousins was my favorite player. And that was really the reason to watch Kings games. You'd turn on a Kings game to see what ridiculous stat line DeMarcus Cousins put up, probably in a loss, but the things he was doing were what we're kind of seeing now. They were breaking these records. Domantas Sabonis is doing things right now that Kings fans have not seen in a very long time. Mm-hmm. Going back to the Oscar Robertson days, which was when the franchise was located in Sacramento. And I think we all know by now that he deserves more respect, whether it's a national basis, local, you name it. But Domantas Sabonis has done enough this year to really, I think, be a perennial all-star until he's not. I mean, he did it last year with a broken hand, doing it this year, doing it better. And, of course, the most important stat of all is he's been available. He's played in every game. So definitely something I think he deserves more respect in as far as all-star voting. And, yeah, Whitey in the MVP race too.
Yeah. What's your theory as to why he's playing better? We have – I know you say you heard Kyle Draper. Kyle Draper says maybe this is getting to him. Maybe the lack of respect is motivating him. Maybe, as you said, maybe it has something to do with the thumb. Is there anything that you point to as to, and maybe not. I mean, we never know with some of these things, but anything you point to as a possible reason why he's played even better this year than he did last year when he was flat out remarkable?
I think it's just like the repetition, just like how the formula of the Sacramento Kings has worked in his favor. Just the fact that he is able to run the ball like a point guard. He operates the offense out of the block or on the break. It doesn't really matter. He's got that in his bag. And obviously De'Aaron Fox, who's been playing a little slower lately, and obviously he had a pretty good game a couple nights ago, last night a little more quiet as well, but he's had a great season from De'Aaron Fox as well. Two guys that deserve to be all-stars. And thirdly, a big jump from Keegan Murray, who again, last year was more of like a dribble handoff, spot-up shooter. This year, we've seen last night and a couple of games before that, he's creating off the dribble. He's able to do a lot more than just spot up in the corner and knock down triples. So when you have that, that gives more opportunities for Sabonis to hit Murray, to hit Fox, Malik Monk, who has been a big assist guy himself, though he's scoring the ball when he's in the game. I think it's just a matter of being comfortable in this system, Mike Brown's system. The Kings are eighth in offense right now. They're still a great offensive team. The defense has slid a little bit, but even in this 8-game sample size, they played some really good basketball. They've won 6 of 8, and the offense has thrived while doing so. So I think it's more so being comfortable in this system. And we saw what he could do last year with a broken hand. And right now he's doing it. Right now we're seeing what he can do with two hands, I guess.
Catching up with Frankie Cardicelli here, Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. The thing that's most encouraging to me, Frankie, about the last two wins, I know that it's Detroit and Charlotte. You're supposed to beat them. But they won back-to-back games for the first time. But the fact that Keegan has played so well and he's been so efficient offensively and the offense is a little more diverse, it's been more democratic, if you will. It's not so Fox-centric. To me, that's really encouraging going forward if they can continue to score without Fox having to carry such a heavy load.
Yeah, and I think Keegan he's the guy. I mean, Sabonis has actually taken a step forward, too. He's been a 20-point-per-game scorer. Right now he's averaging over 20, and that's great. I mean, he was close last year, but right now he's doing it. The 25 and 30 point games are happening a lot more often, but Keegan is a guy where started off the year slow, a little streaky for a bit, but right now he's playing again back to his best basketball of the season. And I think he scored 25 and 3 of the last 5 games. And if he's able to do that on a nightly basis, I think coming into his rookie year, a comp that he said himself was he liked to compare himself as far as his play style to Chris Middleton. And as far as I think Middleton's second year numbers, because the first year in Chris Middleton's career, he wasn't really in the rotation, didn't play a lot of games, but in that second year of his career, very comparable to Keegan Murray's rookie season. And now we're seeing kind of the equivalent of like that Chris Middleton type player, a guy who can go and score off the dribble and can be an elite shot maker from beyond the arc. And he looks very comfortable and confident while doing so, especially off the dribble, which last year was kind of an issue. Yeah. And I think even now he still could work on it a little bit more. But that's something that he's been working on is can he be comfortable off the dribble? Because last year didn't really have that much of a handle. Again, was really a guy, but just I think last year was like more of a Klay Thompson comp, whereas he doesn't have to dribble much to cause damage. Well, this year he's causing damage in a variety of ways. And I think as far as him going to the basket too, that's been something that's really improved because last year it was really kind of funny. Chris Watkins and I would get frustrated on Media Row saying, man, Keegan, he's got it in the bag. I mean, if you watch his highlight reel or from college, he would just go dunk on people. It was just almost unrecognizable. And this year we've seen how he has that fun back and forth with De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk about the dunk of the year conversation for the team. He's had a couple of big dunks this year. So really taking a step forward in all ends. And that doesn't even talk about his defense. He's picking up the best player on the opposing team every night, whether it's a guard or a 2 or a 3 or a 4. He's taking on that challenge and doing so well, I would say. So he's a big part of what they're doing this year and why the Kings are where they are. And again, with my guys like De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis have been playing like all-stars again as well.
Yeah, it's a pleasure sitting by you and Chris. You know, they're a Media Row, but you guys, I appreciate your passion, but the language sometimes, Frankie, with you and Chris, You've got young people there like Brendan, and I don't know that they should be subjected to that kind of language, frankly. It's not for me to say, but you brought it up, and it's just been kind of, you know, building and something I've been meaning to say, and it's not necessary, Frankie. I appreciate the passion, but the language is not necessary, sir.
We'll tone that down if you tone down the throwing your food and drink at towards the court, because you've had to be stopped immediately a couple
it.
Times
it
for,
flew out of
for
my
throwing
hand.
Your popcorn. If you're throwing your popcorn.
It flew out of my hand. Yeah,
yeah, it did. It flew right towards row A.
Hey, all kidding aside, what do you have for us on the trade deadline? What do you think? Any opinions? I know Kyle Draper, as you probably heard again, he really likes the idea of Wiggins coming here. Wiggins may be headed somewhere. You know, the Warriors right now are they're coming apart at the seams. What's the latest from Frankie on what could happen, what may happen, what definitely will not happen? What do you got?
I mean, it fluctuates. It seems like that's the way the trade market works. It fluctuates on a daily basis, is my thought process, that is. And obviously, I think we all heard the same things as far as what the Kings were and were not willing to give up for Pascal Siakam. And first of all, I think it was clear. Now it's very clear as far as Sam Amick, who a legend in this community and for what he's done. And when he talks, I think the Sacramento Kings fan base listens, and he says, you know, Siakam has no interest in re-signing in Sacramento. And while that might be a jab at the Kings, it does seem like he's not very open to re-signing anywhere. I think that he wants to test the market or maybe even stay in Toronto where he's comfortable. But if the Kings were to bit from that, which it seems like they will, I think a Wiggins deal, I'm starting to kind of like the idea more and more.
Just really?
Not as much as like a reclamation project, but in a way, like a little bit. Like, I think his youth, again, he's only 28 years old. I think we look at him as a guy who's been around for a while, but the fact that he's 28 years old, he could probably fit with this timeline pretty well. I mean, Domantas Sabonis is 27, Fox is 26. He's really just been kind of behind, you know, the scenes over there, just kind of falling back into a bench role. Obviously, Jonathan Kuminga is a guy the Warriors are trying to see what he has right now in the tank. Moses Moody is somebody who I think you guys were talking about as well as a intriguing option. He's somebody I'd love for the Kings to go get. Personally, on draft night, I think it was 2021, I was very interested.
Really?
In the Kings getting Moses Moody. Yeah. Like, I really liked his game at college. The fact that he can defend guards and forwards, I think, is would be very helpful for a Kings team that needs that kind of interchangeability on the defensive end.
That was a Davion draft, right? That's when they took Davion, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And they passed up Şengün. Yeah. They passed up, you know, we'll have a conversation about that draft down the line. I think some things have to happen before we can really dissect that one. But there are some players that were there that I really was into. But also some guys that I'm looking at that aren't being talked about very much. Like, I'm looking at Portland. Well, what is Portland planning to do? Because they have Malcolm Brogdon over there, who I think would help out the Kings a little bit. I think that Jeremy Grant is somebody the Kings were very intrigued with a year ago. Do they revisit that? I'm not sure. He's, again, very quiet on that front. But then again, a player we've talked about a lot is Alex Caruso. That's a guy that me, Brendan, Chris, we really kind of bought into that idea when we were on with Alan the other day, that if it took a first round pick, I think we'd be open to it. But right now the asking price is reportedly 2 first-round picks. To me, that's too much, even though you have this year and next year. But what he brings on the defensive end in Alex Caruso that can defend at a high level and can either start or come off the bench, that can make things interesting with Malik Monk as well. Whether you want to start one of those guys, then you don't really have that much of a drop off in the second unit. As far as production goes, obviously Malik's more of an offensive guy, and Caruso, who can knock down the three ball, he's more of a defensive guy. But I think, to me today, and this could change any day, I think the Kings are more in one of those like around the edges moves. I don't really see them making a big swing for the fences type deal. That could change again, because 2 years ago we were having these same conversations and it seemed like the Kings weren't. All the whispers were the Kings were not moving Tyrese Halliburton. I think De'Aaron Fox's name was more mentioned in these rumors or discussions, and we all know how that turned out. So things can change very quick. And then what is it? January 11th. We have about 3+ weeks to go. But we got kind of a taste of it already with what it looks like. I think you were in the arena that night too, when the Siakam rumors were happening at their peak. And it just is really,
I started them. I started the rumors.
You were the one that did it. And did you end them as well?
No, that just kind of naturally fizzled out. Okay. But no, that was, you know, excuse me for interrupting there to be silly, but that was exciting. I mean, it was, and I, you know, looking back on it now, I think, yeah, that probably wouldn't have made sense. But at the time, I was into it. It's exciting to think of this team adding somebody to me, right?
Yeah, and I think that they kind of, I don't want to say have to, but I think they kind of have to. Because we know what this team looks like right now at their best. We know what they can do. And we know what their holes are. We've seen it last year. This is still largely the same roster that it was last year in the postseason. And We know what the holes are. They are not a good defensive team still. They have weak interior defense. They have unreliable perimeter defense. They are near the bottom of all the categories on the defensive end you can think of. And again, on the offensive end, they're still a very good team. They're not a record-breaking offense, and the pace has slowed down a little bit, but still a very good team that can beat you on the break or in a half-court set. So I think the Kings know what they need to do. It's just how can you do that and how do you get there? And can you do it with the guys that have been floated so far? I mean, I think that Kevin Huerter certainly has value around the league. I think he's going through a shooting slump. I think he's a guy, though, that can work in a variety of different systems and offenses. Harrison Barnes is somebody I believe who could also benefit from being in a different system as far as getting more shots up. And again, not that HB or Kevin Huerter are the problem right now. It's just those are the guys that, from a financial standpoint, you need for a deal that's going to bring back significant money. If they're going to make a smaller move, you have Sasha Vezenkov, Chris Duarte, those guys. But I think the Kings are looking a little higher than that.
Yeah, the thing about Huerter, and I think we lose track of it here, because he's not shooting well. There's no question. He just really isn't shooting well. But he has shot well. Last year, he was an excellent shooter. And Frankie, I know you're a baseball guy. To me, shooting in the NBA, it's kind of like pitching in baseball. Everybody's always looking for it. You know, every team, it seems like, we could add shooting. It's really important in the NBA. And there's a guy, again, if he finds his stroke, he definitely would have value because he's a shooter. No matter who you are, you could use more shooting, but the Kings have to hope that he can find his stroke. I read something today, and I apologize, I forget where it was, that the Bulls have interest in Huerter, but they're looking into why he's not making shots. And then there's also something going around today about Malik Monk, and I think if you do the math, we already knew this, the Kings are kind of over a barrel as far as what they can offer him to stay because of the contract he's currently on. And some are concerned that Malik may find, you know, more playing time and more money somewhere else. But I guess we have to focus on this one season at a time. That's not a happy thought, though, Malik going elsewhere at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a personal opinion, but I feel very strongly that Malik will be back. I just think that there's too much mutual interest and too much of, as far as the De'Aaron Fox element and how much Vivek Ranadive, you know, adores Malik Monk, Mike Brown, obviously. We talked about it before, how even when they're going and butting heads, they're able to sit down and have level-headed conversations. Malik's just that guy. Like, I think we talk about, like, teams need, like, a dog. They need somebody that can, you know, not afraid to get their hands dirty. Malik Monk, we've seen it. He's fiery, not afraid to get into it with opposing players if that's what the situation calls for as far as last year or whatnot. He is a guy that's fiery and a guy that the Kings really enjoy in the locker room. And obviously the fan base does too. And I think we talk about the whole starting or bench discussion. It's really, I don't want to say polarizing, but I think every Kings fan has their opinion, whether Malik Monk should start or, you know, come off the bench. But
what is your opinion? He should not. I think he should be starting. What is Frankie's opinion?
I don't think he should be either. I think right now the way that things work, he is so valuable in that second unit. And again, he's finishing games. Mm-hmm. And I know that the Kings have started off slow in these games, and that's pretty much why they've lost some of the games they've lost. They fall behind early. Again, they did it in Detroit, but they came back and they won. They did it last night in Charlotte, but they came back and they won. You'd like to come out and be that team that takes a 10-15 point lead early. And would Malik help that? Maybe. But I think the Kings staggering Fox and Monk is what makes them so dangerous. And then the fact that you get to close with both those guys is also huge, because I think no matter what the Kings do, there's still a very good chance that Malik Monk's going to be on the floor at the end of games. Mm-hmm. And could that change in the future? Could Malik, you know, does he actually care? Because again, Buddy Hield is a guy, and disclaimer, I'm by no means comparing Malik Monk and Buddy Hield. But Buddy Hield was a guy who had a problem with coming off the bench. He did not like coming off the bench here. And I don't think Malik Monk has that mentality. I mean, I think when Brendan Nunez asked him in the locker room the other night about, does he want to win Sixth Man of the Year? And he said, yeah. And he said, I should have won it last year, to be honest. I think he enjoys it. I think he likes that. I think he likes that six-man mentality, and the Kings benefit from it. I mean, not many teams have a guy as dynamic as Malik Monk who can go get you 20 and pass out 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 assists sometimes. I mean, he's averaging a career assist per game too. He's kind of taken over that backup point guard duty because the Kings right now don't really have a backup point guard. So very valuable to have him off the bench, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I don't think, you know, well, start him. If he's playing the same amount of minutes, I think people overvalue that. But I to your point about Malik Monk being comfortable coming off the bench, I know media day, Chris and I were out there, and we got to ask him, you know, about coming off the bench. And you could tell he was very sincere. He said, like Mike says, if we win, the team wins, we all win. He takes some pride in being that guy that comes off the bench but knows I'm good enough to start, and I'm going to prove that to you. I'm okay coming off the bench, but I'm going to prove to you that I'm good enough to start. And I think that's something that contributes to how effective he is. But I wanted to ask you about this before we let you go. Please tell me on the Frankie scale, 0 to 10. 0 is like, this is nothing. 10 is like, whoop, red alert, we got a problem. And I've been talking about this a lot. I hope I'm not being redundant to those who've already heard me. But we had... You mentioned Sam Amick. Sam Amick earlier, well, it was in December, he wrote that the Kings are looking to add offense. Drapes and I talked to Sam about that. And so apparently, you know, whoever he's talking to with the Kings says, we feel like the defensive improvements are enough. We're looking to add offense. Then we had Sunday Mike Brown saying, the thought that we can just beat people with offense, and he said, and there's some of that amongst us, whoever thinks that way is in for a rude awakening. So it's like, well, that's two different things. So maybe there's some philosophical differences there, Frankie. Is that it's nothing, Whitey, or watch out, it's a big deal with the deadline approaching.
Personally, I don't see how they can stand. I mean, we talked about, right? I don't think you can stand Pat. And I think that maybe there's a different variance of hope for that. It's the front office or in the coaching staff that this team has the internal ability to turn it around. And I think that that was the hope. I think that hope has certainly, you know,
waned,
decreased, waned. I didn't want to use that word the other day, and you pointed it out. I just want to make sure.
It's a good word.
Too much. Yeah. I like that word. I do enjoy it, but I do think that certainly has, it's waned. Like, I think that any confidence that this group, whether it be front office or the coaching staff, if they still have hope or confidence that this is a group capable of having the defensive turnaround that you need to be winning playoff series, I don't fully know if I agree with that. And I don't think that's really even a collective thought. I think that there definitely might be some, you know, I don't think there's a collective take on whether they are or are not in a spot that they can improve internally. But I think that they are going to be making some moves. I would be shocked if they stood pat and didn't do anything like last year. Last year, the only trade that they made was to bring on Kessel Edwards, where they sent money back. So if they do a similar, take a similar stance this year, I'd be very surprised. I'm expecting some move, a little bit of turnaround, and maybe a little bit of chaos, like we saw with the Pascal Siakam rumors. I think a little bit of chaos every trade season's a little bit of fun and also a little bit of torture. But either way, we're getting close.
Torture. Okay. A Giants throwback. Frankie, real quick here. Yeah. I want to start a new tradition when we have you on. I want, at the end of our segments, I want to give you, and you're not here today, I can't physically give it to you, but I'll save it for you, a basketball card of a player as a way of us showing you thanks. And also, the basketball player will reflect your grade for the day. Like, if did you do a great job or not? So this is kind of weighted today. This is takes into account everything you've done to this point. Okay. So here is your card for today. And I don't know if you
what
can see
it?
That, Frankie. This is actually, it's a Domantas Sabonis.
Ooh,
so I
wow.
think, yes. And
wow.
we'll save that for you. And you can, if you want, save the cards. And then it's also good. I'd like you to keep these handy on your desk. So how am I doing? You can look up, hey, I'm doing good. And maybe other weeks, you know, maybe it'll be a different story. I don't know. That's up to you, Frankie, don't you think, really? So anyway, but
oh,
I
no,
just.
For sure.
Yeah, I just, that's our way of thanking you for all you've meant to the show to this point. There you go, Frankie. I'll save that for you for the next time
first,
I see.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That is an awesome card. I will take that, by the way. But last thing. What would it be if I did bad today, poorly? What would it be if I did poorly? Do you have a bad card ready too?
We have a lot of cards ready, Frankie. We have a lot of cards at our disposal.
Kings Greg Oster tag or something, or
yeah. I mean, I got some Kings cards going way back. Okay. So yeah.
Marco Bellinelli on the Kings. Okay. We'll see.
You're answering your own question, Frankie, and you're doing a good job of it. So.
It's like an accountability contract. That's all.
I love it. But what if I tank on purpose next week because I want to see a bad card?
No, we want you to be accountable.
Ask me a question,
and
I'll just
want
say, you.
Yeah. Well, you'll find out. Yeah. All right. I'm not going to let you know now. Yeah. You. If it comes to that, you'll find out. But seriously, thank you. Great job, Frankie. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys both. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon.
All right. We'll take a quick timeout and come right back here with the Drive guys up next. Mike Brown and why he believes the Kings are close to being the best Kings they can be. Does he believe it himself next year? Drive guys, Sacktown Sports. On the- How ridiculous is this? Drive guys here, Kyle Draper in Philadelphia. It's Whitey and Jay and Simone. Frankie was just talking with us about the MVP tracker, basketball reference, for what that's worth. And right now, they have a formula. Again, it's not somebody's opinion. It's not somebody's, these are my power rankings. This is based on pass voting. And right now, Domas is eighth by their metrics. He's the eighth most likely player in the entire league to win the MVP award. And yet, if you check the All-Star voting, the most recent results, Eastern Conference front court, only Eastern Conference, only front court. He's not even in the top, Western Conference, of course, he's in the Western Conference. Western Conference front court, he's not in the top 10. Not in the top 10.
It's a shame.
It's just ludicrous. It's a Travis Shamokri is what it is.
Yeah, all of those things you threw together, absolutely. Uh-huh.
So maybe confusion. The way he's playing, maybe that'll change. Maybe it's on us as Kings fans to make a change. But it does make you shake your head and realize people in the rest of the country, and this includes media, they don't really know what's going on here basketball-wise. In Sacramento, they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, they don't. And it's something that we've been talking about, you know, people here in Sacramento, Northern California, we've been talking about it for the longest, even when it wasn't, you know, good years. The other part of it, too, though, and this is the truth and reality of it, is the Sacramento Kings haven't done a great job of painting their own narrative over the last few years as well. And that's just the God honest truth, Whitey. They have to do a better job of being a little more proactive when it comes to, you know, showcasing De'Aaron Fox, showcasing Domantas Sabonis. You know, we saw it last year for the first time, which was, we saw De'Aaron and Domas, and you say this quite a bit, they put those two together every single time we see them on a national ESPN show or Fox or, you know, a big primetime show. And so we need more of that. We need more of rah-rah. We need more of cheerleader. We need more Heisman campaign from the organization. And we don't see that a lot on the national level. And I get it. Up until this point, you know, there haven't been none. No, mm-hmm. No national television. But now that it's being acquired, I think the organization has to really stress, like, listen, we have all-stars. We have a six man of the year. We almost have to go into like a Heisman campaign situation. And I like to see that a little more from the organization.
Yeah, the fan voting update for today, Western Conference top 10 front court, LeBron, Jokic, Durant, AD, Kawhi Leonard, Şengün, George, Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren, and Karl Anthony Towns. Fine players all, but I mean, Domas is having a better year than maybe all those guys.
All of them. Sounds like.
Yeah, statistically, I think he's having a better year than any of those guys in the West right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a collective. It's an effort. It's a family situation. As they say, it takes a community to raise a child. You know, we're starting from infancy when it comes to the rah-rah with the Kings moving forward and all-stars and all-NBA teams and national television. And, you know, it's almost funny, man. You see this quite a bit. Somebody says anything on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, Kings fans up in arms. I mean, they're rolling around kicking, screaming. They're ready to curse folks out. You know, Kevin O'Connor of the Ringer's been a target quite a bit lately. So I just utilize him, even though he's getting a lot of airplay on this on the station. I don't like it. But he's one of those guys. He say anything. I mean, the King's Kingdom is coming out. Everybody, king, queen, pawns, the horses, everyone's coming at them. But then, as we were talking about last week, when you need some votes, all-star situation, and don't get me wrong, look, holidays just passed. People have lives. They have other things to do than jump on there. I'm going that way to jump on and vote for a Domantas Sabonis or De'Aaron Fox or Malik Monk. But no excuse, just what you said. If you have the same Twitter fingers to jump on Kevin O'Connor, you got the same fingers to touch on an all-star vote.
Yeah, the backcourt voting, if you care at all, you probably know, goes Luka, Steph, Shea, Harden, Kyrie, Ant-Man, Ja, who's out for the year.
Done.
De'Aaron Fox, eighth still, Devin Booker, and Klay Thompson. So that's the way the most recent voting looks like for the all-star game. But I think most people around the country – again, more casual fans would go, Sacramento, oh, that's De'Aaron Fox. He's the only good player on that team. Oh, Sabonis is okay. But again, people don't know what's going on here. And a lot of that is true even of members of the media who kind of run, I used to say 2 weeks to a month. And now I think with social media, the news cycles are faster. Mm. But still, we're talking, you know, 5 days to a week behind what is actually happening here in Sacramento.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's something, you know, people going to put it on the East Coast bias and time and all that type of stuff. And the Lakers over this way and Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Phoenix, you know, bigger names. But there's a lot of national television being swayed by the Kings this year. You know, there's some eyes that's being put on Sacramento. And
on TV tomorrow night.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, so a lot of East Coast guys will be able to see that, you know, fans and everything else. But I think we have to do a better job as people who surrounding. And that's why I call out not only, you know, the fans who are on X and not only, you know, NBA guys when it comes to media. Because I agree with you. I'll say this. Being in this business for as long as I've been in it, when you really look at most, you know, big name national insiders, they're all on the East Coast. They really live on the East Coast. And if not, they're pretty much set centrally. We don't have too many West Coast insiders. We don't have too many West Coast guys who cover, you know, national media for the most part. And it's almost one of those things where, you know, you kind of have to know that to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been privy to that information.
Yeah, it's so annoying, but it's right.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's an East Coast thing. Most people live in the East Coast because the news cycle begins on the East Coast, mm-hmm. right? You know, mm-hmm. compared to us. And so the people who live this way, the Sam Mamics, the Chris Haynes, guys like that, when they're on this side, they actually get up pretty early and operate on East Coast time. We just got to do a better job, though.
All right.
No excuses, Whitey. We have to do a better job. The organization has to do a better job. Fans have to do a better job. Screaming from the lungs, we do it when someone disrespects us.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I just had a thought here as we were talking about the Kings and national TV. Wouldn't this be great? Let's just say Philly loses tomorrow, and let's just say we get a little streak going with Henrietta, the skeleton that Simone has. And we put Henrietta in the jerseys of other teams, and the Kings keep winning those games.
Yep.
We're going to get Henrietta a seat at the Golden One on TV, right?
I like
if
where
it comes
going.
To that. If it comes to that.
Okay, we get a credential and everything. We might have to get Henrietta a credential and all, huh?
Yeah, you still need to check in if you have a credential. But...
Not Henrietta. She got the sauce.
Yeah. So I would love to see that. Real quick here on Mike Brown. We touched on this earlier. Mike Brown, after last night, says it means we're starting to knock on wood round into who we think we're capable of being night in, night out. I like our spirit. I like the way we're just flying around defensively. Those things bode well for the quote-unquote dog days of the season. Some of that, I think it's coach speak, Jay, and I don't blame him for saying it. But to me, he realizes we're supposed to win those games. But I was really hard. I was really down on the team Sunday. And I got to give him a little credit here. We got some tough games coming up. I got to prop him up a little bit more. So I think that's part of what he's saying there. It's just kind of, hey, guys, nice win, you know, rather than you're supposed to beat those clowns.
Yeah. I mean, it's coach speak, like you said. Yeah. I agree with you. And I think, you know, when we had Draper on at 2:30, he said something that caught my eye. We was like, no, it's a great win because they haven't done they haven't won a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
And
they hadn't swept a back
to back.
Yeah.
I understand that. And I know, you know, Drapes has an alliance to the fact of he gets to see practices more than me and you or fans. Mm-hmm. I know he has an alliance to the fact that he gets to talk to these guys because he's on the plane and travel than me and you, you know, more than me and you and fans. But man, I guess I'm just mistaken, Whitey, because when I look at teams like Detroit, man, I'm not even blinking.
And they don't even have their guys.
Yes. My eyes don't even blink. I'm almost, and you're not supposed to do this because you have to still go out and play. I'm almost looking forward to the fact of like, yeah, I really expect to walk in the building. Let's take care of business like I know we're going to, and let's move forward. And it's not so much as like looking to the next game. It's just I have a higher, I guess I hold a higher regard to what the team is supposed to do.
Your standards are
my
higher.
My standards are. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I'm not just looking for a young lady that's sitting on the couch with no job now, Whitey. I need some standards here. And that's what I live with the Kings. It's like, I have standards. And I understand, you know, it's a hard separation. And I said this in hour one, to look back at what we've come from over the last 16 years or so. But I'm also like, man, there's no way we're supposed to be losing to the Hornets and the Pistons. Mm-hmm. And I know they just did a week ago.
Right.
But it's a hard pill to swallow because my standards are at a higher level. And my standards are higher in the fact that I believe you're supposed to go to Detroit, tear up the Little Caesars, and then get to Charlotte and do your thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I expect that.
I got a question for you when we come right back here. The embarrassment of Sunday. Is it any less embarrassing today after what New Orleans did last night? That's next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. We haven't talked about the 49ers yet, nor have we talked about all the coaching changes in the NFL, and we'll get to that. Jay, I don't think that 49ers-Seahawk thing is ever going to be the same without you-know-who coaching the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's fact of the matter is the Niners have been slapping the boys around lately.
It hasn't been much of a rivalry, has it?
Yeah.
You know. So we will get to that. NBA-wise, we've already had a game today. The Cavaliers knocking off the Nets, 111-102. That game was played in Paris. So it was this year's French game in the NBA. Those things bug me. They have so many games played overseas now in the NFL. I understand the league's trying to expand their brand globally, but I just think it waters down the product. You can't tell me, especially in football, but it applies to basketball too. That travel's tough on these guys, right? And so when they come back, you know, they claim to care about how the players are feeling and their health, and then they send them overseas to play a game. It just bugs me. It just irritates me.
I get you. You just came back from Japan.
Yeah.
Right?
And I still am not a Japan.
You haven't caught back up to Pacific time yet?
No. But you know it's got to be, especially on football players.
Yeah, I can understand it. The argument that everyone says you're plush and luxury, you know, flights and hotels and you're treated very well. But there is something to time zones, you know, travel. If you had the opportunity in your life to travel and be blessed to be on a plane or a train or something of that nature, time zones are real, man.
Yeah.
They're time zones for a reason. And it definitely messes with your body chemistry, you know, like the biology of your, the clock of your chemistry. And so it can be tough.
Yeah.
It can be tough.
Have you ever flown first class?
I have.
Is that where the little, you know, I just noticed.
You stop all that because you've flown first class too. So you don't.
I don't know that. I don't know if I ever have. But is that the little, where people have the little cubicles? Because when we're getting on the plane to go.
Depends on what airline.
This was.
Some airlines, that's considered business. That's not even first class.
Okay.
First class
I don't
is like.
Know. At first it looked like, oh, hotel that's cool. Room. But then. You get a little claustrophobic in there, and it's really no different other than you don't have somebody right next to you. And I honestly don't know. I thought first class would be more than that. But is that what it is?
Well, that's domestic first class. There's all kind of different levels of first class, Whitey. There's if you look at like Etihad, you know, Emirates, like those type of certain companies.
Yeah. We're talking beds. We're talking showers.
They have it all, man.
You have like your whole apartment.
Yeah, absolutely. Studio, San Francisco studio.
It's the only way Henrietta flies.
There you go.
New York, baby, the Bronx. Uh-huh. You know how it is.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, on the text line here, somebody's coming after you, Jay.
That's fine.
Yeah, and it's actually, and they put their name on it, Justin. So put your name on it.
Put their name on? Oh, they did?
Yeah, Justin.
Oh, okay, Justin.
Yeah, he says, it's okay to have easy wins. It's okay to have great easy wins. It was an easy win, JJ. It was necessary. It was a great win because they've struggled so bad on back-to-backs.
What's that got to do with anything I said?
Well, you were saying you weren't, and I'm more with you than Justin, but you weren't impressed that, okay, they won two in a row over Detroit and Charlotte. What's the big deal? But he says, no, it was great.
The get right game.
It was, yeah. Yeah, well, that's what we expect. That's expectations, mm-hmm. right? Isn't that, that's kind of what I said is my standards are a little higher. Look, I understand what Justin is saying. Of course, it's an easy win. I expected it to be an easy win. I think we're agreeing, but I think my standards are a little higher in the fact that I play to win. I hope Justin does too. I would imagine the Sacramento Kings do,
yeah.
even though we're not always winners.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm looking at Michael Jordan or not. I want to win.
If somebody, like, let's say I owed you $50 and I come in and bring you $50, you're not going to go, whoa.
Right. That was right? an easy win. No, I want my 50,
yeah,
Whitey.
Give me my $50.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like and so that's the point of it is, and that's part of the king, you know, I say the king's kingdom. Now, I don't know if it's ever ran, but the king's kingdom is we're not 2013 Sacramento Kings. To build where we want to build.
Are you saying act like you've been there before?
Come on now.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have to start to get a little better ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have to expect certain things a little more, right? And so that's why when Kings fans, you know, we've seen it, where they're kicking and screaming, HB has to do this and We need to do that.
Hey, guys, what's up with HB? He'll have a good game. Then it'll be virtually
Here we
invisible.
Go. I'm not going down that go. Rabbit hole yeah. today. But that's what I'm saying is and I've said this, I'm notorious, and you said this a few segments ago. I don't want to be a broken record. I don't want to be repetitive. But Jay, me, speaking in third person, I play to win championships. I play to win. I don't expect to have an easy win. I know I'm going to have it. Like, that's my mindset.
Yeah.
That's how I approach it. It's like, look, I know I'm going into Detroit to get a W. I know I'm going into Charlotte to get a W. Okay, Philly's a different thing. Now I know I have, you know, it's going to be a little more of a battle. Detroit Pistons with no Cade Cunningham and, of course, no Marvin Bagley III getting a DNP CD. Man, we're supposed to go in there and get a win. That's not an easy win. Yeah, it is an easy win.
I think
it's almost a contradiction if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I think for a lot of Kings fans, it's a matter of trust. Is this real? You know, Kings fans who've been through so much heartbreak. And I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying for some fans, it's like you're walking out on the ice and you don't know how thick it is. Like, this team's really good, right? Do I take another step towards believing that this is a team that could be a contender? I don't want to fall through the ice like I did so many years, so often with the Kings. So some of it's just people aren't quite sure yet if they can trust this.
I understand that point. That's why I say expectations have been changed. We're thinking different. I also started the show saying, look, I'm not taking it for granted. See, there's a difference, Whitey, yeah. Justin. I'm not taking the fact that I expect the Kings to go into Detroit and Charlotte and get wins because there have been years, many years, where I didn't expect that and it did not happen. But I do trust, and that's a great word, trust, but I'm also setting my standards differently. Mm-hmm. To change in life, you have to change yourself.
It's hard,
right?
though.
It is. I get it.
It's
I understand.
Hard.
That's why we have we have all the forums. We have, you know, therapy. There's so many different avenues you can utilize to change you and become better. Hopefully,
I just
better
want to watch
yourself.
The game.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Because if you did, and stop trying to cop out over there, Whitey.
Well,
if you did, then you wouldn't be in a position.
Now?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying because some people don't need it. Some people do, right?
Uh huh.
So that's the point of it. That's why you guys are here every single day to come on and be the Sacramento Kings therapy. Mm-hmm. It's like, look, we don't have to get too high. We don't have to get too low. That's something Drake points out all the time. Like, yeah, they lost to Charlotte, but they also beat Minnesota. So the same feeling you had, even though it was on opposite sides of the spectrum, it's going to even out.
You know, the thing
this
is,
team
though,
is okay.
He's right, but it's like, what's more fun, riding the escalator at the airport where it's flat, that or riding a roller coaster? Which is more fun?
Depends on who you are.
No.
Half glass full, half glass empty guy.
You're telling me there are people that they love getting on
roller coasters? Absolutely. There's people
like, this is great.
Whitey, there's people who are petrified of getting on roller coasters.
Huh. Those are the people that maybe need to go see a therapist. By the way, Justin weighs back in. Thank you, Justin. I rarely agree with Draper, so that's why I'm in. It's all good. Justin, yeah. We're just talking sports.
I can
here.
Dig it. Yeah.
We'll come right back.
Disagree.
And
it's okay.
I got to get Jay's answer and your answer, too, to the question. What happened to the Kings Sunday? Is it more palatable after what the Pelicans did last night? Next, Drive Guys Sacked on Sports.